Hey, good evening, folks. Welcome back to our Wednesday night Bible study, and hopefully you're doing well at home. And some good news is the days are ticking by and we're coming to the end. I think we're closer to the end than we were, let's say, even a week ago. And it just keeps coming closer. And before you know it, before long, we'll be back together in-house worshiping and praying together. And I can't wait for that day to come. I mean, no offense against Pastor Taylor. You know, he's here with me all day, but I would sure love to see some other faces sometime soon. And, of course, no offense to my wife either, who's here as well. But hopefully you were able to check your emails and were able to print off the prayer bulletin for this week. And as far as announcements, just keep checking in online with us. I was so amazed Sunday with our Easter service. Thank you, first of all, for all of the good comments that you all sent back to us. That was just a different day, but yet it was a really good day as well. And as looking back now at the numbers of people that were reached by our service. Now, I don't know about the internet or what's taken place with our website and the video archive of our Easter service, but just looking at our Facebook stream, as of right now, there's been over 1,100 people that have looked at our Easter service. And I would have to say that if it weren't for the virus, that Easter service would not have reached that many people. So this is an example of God taking something that many people are fearful of and using it for good. And thank you again for coming back and joining us tonight. Let's go ahead and go right into our Bible study. But let me first mention there are several prayer requests that we have sent out through our prayer email chain. Make sure you pray for those folks. There's details in that I can't share online, but there are some really serious concerns that some people have right now on some medical issues, and please just keep them in your prayers. Let's go ahead and look at our study for tonight. And again, hopefully you were able to download or print off the outline for tonight's Bible study. And let me ask you this. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the first step of discipling. Do you remember what that was? Choose someone. I mean, it was that simple. Just choose someone. So now let me ask you, have you done that yet? Yet, have you done that? Today's the day, by the way, April 15th, stimulus checks, or whatever it is they're calling them, they're supposed to start coming to our bank accounts. And I know one person has gotten theirs already. I keep trying to check my bank account to see if it's hit yet, and the bank's system is so overloaded or jammed, I still can't get on to see if it's there or not. But think of it, $1,200 a person. That's coming into our bank account today. If you have an online banking setup, but $1,200 a person. I was talking with someone the other day. That's $1,200 per person per adult, and then $500 for every child that's in the house. And this person, it was a family member of mine. They asked another family member who was a child in the house, a teenager. They asked them in front of the parents, so how are you going to spend your $500? Now, I don't know that the parents planned on giving all of their kids the $500, but we have this money coming in. Now, let's say with the stimulus check coming in order to get it, you would have to place a phone call to make sure that check comes to you. So the checks are coming out today. Before you get it, you have to make a phone call to get this $1,200 check. And once you make that phone call, you have to answer a few questions. Let's say three questions. Really simple, easy peasy. Just answer these questions, make the phone call, answer the questions, and then you got your check. Now, Also, they have plenty of phone lines. So whenever you call, you're not going to get put on hold for any reason whatsoever. They're always available. All you got to do, place that call, answer three questions, and they give you $1,200. How many of you would have already done that? I mean, less than 10 hours have gone by. How many of you would have already done that to get your $1,200? How many of you, let's say a year from now, how many of you would still be saying, oh, I need to do that. I really need to do that. Well, probably zero. We all would have done it by now. Now, why would we have all done this by now? Because you say, Pastor, it's $1,200. Yes, it is. It's important to us. So we would have done that by now. In fact, human nature, a fact of human nature is this. We do what is important to us. We have the time, or we find the time to do whatever is important to us. Now, friends, a characteristic of a discipling relationship is transparency and honesty. And I really do appreciate you allowing me to do that, or to be that with you as church family. So let's go back to choosing someone from just a couple of weeks ago. If you haven't chosen someone yet, it's because it's not important to us. We just established $1,200. We would have already called by now because that's important to us. But I've been so busy, Pastor. Perhaps you are maybe too busy. Think about it. You are saying, I am too busy to obey God. 2 weeks ago, we've been looking for weeks now at how God says we are to disciple. But I'm too busy to obey God. We have to add that to the end. Okay, so just choose someone. Let's get it done. Intentionally plan the time starting tonight. Plan it. Don't say, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll get to it next week. Do it tonight after the Bible study is over with. Okay? So let's look at the cost of discipling. The second cost here. Discipling requires time. Let's first take a moment to explain something about discipling. Not all discipling looks the same. I'm involved in several discipling relationships myself right now. None of them are the same. If they all have to be done in a certain way, not many would take place because there are so many different factors that would prohibit them from taking place. The relationships that I am intentionally involved in conform to different circumstances in my life and in the other person's life. Over the years, those relationships have changed. How often we meet up changes. Sometimes the other person's work schedule changes, and that has, in fact, ended the time that we've been able to spend together. Some are more formal than others. They are all fluid. They're constantly different, constantly changing. But there has been a common factor with all of them over the years. They take time. And because they take time, we have to be deliberate about intentionally interacting with others for the purpose of bringing them closer to Christ. time limits the number of relationship that we can have. But if you don't intentionally plan and you don't execute your plan, you'll never do this. Again, I would go back to choosing someone. You haven't done it for a reason, okay? We need to make that important to us. The second cost that we have is it requires study. Discipling requires study. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, it says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." In our audience, those of you that are listening and watching right now, there are some in our audience that if I ask them, when does deer season start? How much do the tags cost? How much does the license cost? Now, right there, many of you would say, huh? What's the difference? But I continue to ask the questions. When can you legally start hunting on opening day? There are some that could answer those questions because they love to hunt. Likewise, if I asked, who knows what the following terms mean? Block on board, fat quarter, hand piecing, half triangle, batting, applique, basting, bearding. Was he talking about cooking, a Weight Watcher club, geometry? What is he talking about? Well, those that love quilting would know that I just spouted off a bunch of quilting terms. The hunter definitely would not know those things. In fact, I would say the hunter should not know those quilting terms. You say, Pastor, what's the point? Here it is. The point is we study the things that we love. God said that we are to love him with our whole heart, our soul, and what's the third thing? Are you thinking it? Our mind. Love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. We should desire to know him and help others know him as he has revealed himself to us in his word. And in order to help other people to know him as he's revealed himself in his word, we have to know his word. In your discipling relationships, use the Bible. Spend time in the Bible together with the other person. There's a third cost that I want to cover tonight as well. Discipling requires prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says, pray without ceasing. Now, those of you that are in a discipling relationship, pray for them every day. The changes that we all need are not just behavioral. Well, they have to start going to church faithfully. That's true. They have to start reading their Bible more. That's true. They need to begin to pray. That's true. They need to be baptized. That's true. They need to faithfully give back to God some of what he's given to them. That's true. All of these things that they need to start doing or do more faithfully, those are all true. Those are all things that they need to do. But the changes we all need are not just behavioral. You could pay someone to do all those things. The changes that we need are heart changes, and that requires supernatural intervention. No words you could say, no logic you could use could not change a person's heart. It has to come from God. And that comes from his word that is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. It's the word of God that gets into a person's heart and causes heart change. Once the heart change takes place, guess what follows? The behavior. Discipling also requires love. In John chapter 13 and verse 34, it says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. God's telling us, Jesus is saying, you need to love other people, and he tells us how. He tells us that we need to love other people the same way that he has loved us. How has God loved you? And don't just say, oh yes, God is love. God is so loving. No. Answer that question. How has God showed love to you? This is part of studying what God's word tells us about his love for us. Well, we know his love is unconditional. He gave everything for us, not expecting anything in return. He gave everything for us, knowing that we weren't going to be faithful to him. And when we are unfaithful to him, what does God's love do? It compels him to forgive us. His love compels us to give us mercy. His love compels us to give us grace, or compels him to give us grace. Listen, hopefully you're starting to see how important love is in discipling other people. You can't just choose someone and say, okay, that's the person I'm going to disciple because that's what I'm supposed to do. It will be very cold, very impersonal, very regimented, very academic. There's no relationship there. If we really love people as God loved us, as God loves us, I said, that meant he discipled us because of his love, and he continues to disciple us. We call that sanctification. If we love other people as God loved us, then we will disciple others. If you're not discipling anyone, if you haven't chosen someone yet, we have to ask the question, is there no one that you love? Love is what initiates a discipling relationship in the beginning. Love is what perseveres in discipling relationships and not quit after a few weeks. Love is what humbly receives the criticism that often comes in a discipling relationship. Look, if I am concerned only with what the other person thinks of me, instead of how he or she is doing, it's going to be hard for me to love and disciple as I should be, because I'm always going to be worried about what are they thinking of me? What are they thinking of me? Can I just say this? It's not about you. It's not even about them. It's about God and obeying God. Proverbs says this, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Folks, we can do this. Everything that God gives us is intended for us to turn around and to give it to others in some form or fashion. He gives us time. We give time to other people. It's not all ours. He gives us love. We love. He is patient with us. We are patient with others. He gives us grace. We give grace to others. He's merciful. We're merciful to others. He forgives. We forgive. He exhorts us. We exhort others. Now, just choose someone and let's get started with what we are supposed to be doing, fulfilling the Great Commission. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, God, please help us with this. For many, Lord, maybe most Christians, this is a new thing. We're not comfortable. It's taking us outside of our comfort zone. Many people have been saved for decades, Lord, and maybe have never intentionally had a relationship with someone where they brought in God's word and sought to help them follow God more closely. And by doing so, help themselves follow you more closely. So God, we need your help with this. Lord, help us to take advantage of the time that we have, even as I spoke this morning in my stream. Take advantage of this time that we have and use it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.